Hello, everybody. Welcome to the debut episode of the All Day FJ Show. I'm your host, Steven Johnson, and joining me is a very special guest, a veteran of Chicago sports broadcasting since 1990. You may know him as Mr. NBA, but I know him as one of the brothers and as a great colleague of mine. He is NBC Sports Chicago's Bulls pre- and post-game host and one of the best in the business. He is Mark Schanowski. Ski, how you doing, man? Well, I appreciate that greatly, Mark, and I appreciate you joining me, man. Like I said, this is the debut episode, and I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk with me. Let's get right into it. Here's what we do know. The Chicago Bulls are a rebuilding franchise right now. After watching the first two games, you know, the big story is Lauri Markkanen. Is he, along with Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn, the only things the Bulls fans have for have something to look forward to this season, or is there more that you can enlighten us on about how we should watch this team?
Well, I think those are the primary guys that everyone's going to be interested in watching this season. And the three guys you mentioned are the three players they got in the Jimmy Butler trade, and if the Bulls are going to be able to make it look like that trade was a positive step for them, all three of those guys are going to have to develop into solid NBA players. I think that, you know, the key is going to be Zach LaVine. He was showing in his third year with the Minnesota Timberwolves before he got hurt that he was developing into a fringe all-star type talent, averaging about 19 points a game and shooting close to 40% from the three-point line. Everybody knows about the two slam dunk championships, which were fun to watch and are always electrifying for fans around the league, but he was developing into a more well-rounded player. The hope is that he can come back right where he left off before the injury, pick up that scoring, show that shooting touch, and improve his defense from what it was in Minnesota. Now, people forget that even though this will be his fourth season in the league, he's only 22 years old. And with the Eastern Conference weakened like it has been by all the defections, you know, he could be an all-star caliber player in a year or two once he gets timing back 100% from the ACL rehab. Chris Dunn, of course, he also got hurt during the preseason. He had that ugly dislocation of his left index finger. He's back practicing. He should be back playing games by the end of this week. Still don't know exactly what he's going to become as an NBA point guard. But the thing that has been encouraging in the first two games has been the early showing of Lauri Markkanen. Here's a guy that just turned 20 in May, played in Finland, and people are thinking, you know, the stereotype of European guys that they have good fundamentals, but, you know, they're not as competitive or as athletic as a lot of guys around the league. But he's shown that he can put the ball on the deck, he can get to the basket, he's not afraid to mix it up physically inside, and he's got that soft shooting touch for three-point range. So I think that because of the situation with Bobby Portis and Nico both being out for a long period of time, he's going to be forced at a lot of minutes, and that's probably going to help his learning curve for long-term success in the NBA. And I have to admit, from what I've seen just early, he looks a little bit better than what I anticipated.
Yeah, Mark, and I've really been impressed with his physicality. Like you touched on briefly, like there's that stereotype about European players. Like they, while they're skilled, they don't really have like the body or the, you know, physical. They're physically limited when it comes to the NBA game. He's shown that he'll meet you at the rim. He'll go up strong on you, and that's only going to continue to develop, as you said, as he gets older and learns how to play within the NBA flow. You touched on it briefly with Portis and Nico. Now, that's just a heartbreaker when it comes to the depth and Fred Hoiberg's rotations throughout the early part of the season. Can you briefly touch on Nico and Bobby's futures with the team and what led to this situation?
Well, I'm talking to a lot of people, both inside the Bulls organization and people who cover the team mostly as beat writers. I found out that those two guys have really gone hard at each other ever since Bobby first came into the league. Nico's been in the league 1 year longer than Bobby, but, you know, I think that Portis came in with a chip on his shoulder when he was drafted 22nd. He felt like he should have been a lottery pick, and he probably looked at Nico thinking, well, I'm better than that guy, and I'm going to do everything I can in practice to show the coaches that I should have that spot. And because the Bulls had a lot of invested in Nico, bringing him over from Europe and giving him a pretty nice contract to come over, you know, they were really hoping that he would take hold and be a really high-quality player. as we found out, you know, in his first couple of years, Nico is just limited. I think we've already seen about what we're going to get from Eric Fitch, even though they doubled his salary this year and gave him the starting spot with really not having to compete for it in training camp. You know, I think he's going to be a guy that will play really good one night and then will disappear for the next two. And I'll be surprised if Nico is with the Bulls beyond this season. I think what they did with the contract in terms of constructing with the team option for the second year, you know, they have to spend to the salary cap floor, and I think that they just looked at Nico as a guy that they could give some of this extra cash, which is great for him, and not really have to make a long-term commitment. So, you know, it's unfortunate that their competition would escalate to a, you know, a physical confrontation like that. And you know, we've seen so many fights in sports through the years where guys are flailing around and nobody ever seems to land a punch. You know, in this instance, Bobby threw one punch and he shattered Nico's face, which is just awful. And, you know, from the reports we've been getting that, you know, Nico's, first of all, has to recover from the concussion, so he'll have to go through the concussion protocol, and then he'll have to decide whether he's going to have surgery to repair the facial fractures. And my guess is he could be out 2 months. And, wow, you know, by the time he gets back, then he's got to get back into shape and he's got to find his timing again. This could really be kind of a lost year for Nico when he was trying to reestablish his value as a free agent going into the next summer. Because remember, he was a restricted free agent this past summer, and really no team showed any serious interest. So, you know, his future is very uncertain. And same thing with Bobby now. I mean, Bobby's going to have that reputation around the league as a guy that couldn't control his temper in a practice situation. And he really hasn't established himself as a top-level NBA player. So, you know, the Bulls have until October 31st to decide whether or not they're going to pick up their fourth-year contract option on Bobby. And that could go either way. You know, if they feel like these two guys can't get along, or if Nico takes the option of trying to bring legal action against Forrest, they may find themselves in a situation where they feel like they have to trade one or the other. And because Nico has suffered such serious injuries, the most logical guy to trade would be Portis.
And, Mark, it's so deflating from not only a team standpoint, but from a PR standpoint. Everybody was talking about before the season how they want this young team to grow together. They were preaching unity, learning how to play hard together and win games eventually together as a young group. And you already see that seed have been planted for dissension within the locker room. But when we're talking about trades and moving on from players, I think one piece that the Bulls have can be very valuable as the season goes on, and that's Robin Lopez. Looking at Robin Lopez's skill set, that is a legit 7-footer. He has a nice mid-range game, can put his back to the basket. He's a great character guy. He's taking the lead as the face of the team, you know, talking before the home opener to the crowd. Do you think they can find a deal for Rolo, maybe a late first-round pick, or finding another young player that they probably see value in? Or where do you see them going in a direction when it comes to his future with the organization?
Honestly, he's been unbelievably positive about this whole situation. You know, you would have thought that after Wade and Butler and Rondo all left, that Lopez or his agent may have gone to the front office and said, you know, get me out of here. I don't belong in this rebuilding situation. This is his 10th year in the league. You know, he's been really not really on a lot of great teams over his career. He started out in Phoenix. They were starting to go downhill. Then he went to Portland, and they were okay, but not really a contender. And he's with that, you know, that dumpster fire that is the New York Knicks,
right,
before coming to the Bulls. And, you know, his whole career, he's been a good soldier. He's done exactly what the coaching staff has asked of him. He's been a positive contributor in just about every place he's been. And, you know, Steven, talking to him during training camp, he's been great about this. He said he's really appreciated the fact that a lot of these young guys have come in hungry. They've been working hard in practice, before and after practice, trying to improve their games. And he has not said one negative thing about, woe is me because I'm a 10-year guy and I should be stuck with this rebuilding situation. I think that Lopez, if he keeps that positive attitude, really has more value as a veteran leader and a mentor to these guys than he would for getting, you know, as you suggested, getting a late first-round draft pick. I would keep him around if he continues to feel, you know, positive about the situation. I think he's the one veteran presence that really kind of helps pull us all together. So I wouldn't be that anxious to trade him. I think that he still, you know, keeps expanding his shooting range. every year. He knocked down a three-pointer the other night. You know, maybe he'd be like his brother, find that three-point shooting touch later in his career. I would keep him around. I think he brings a lot of value, and I'm also not that high on the guy behind him, Chris Felicio, who they gave a four-year, $32 million contract. I thought that was kind of, you know, bidding against yourselves, and, you know, I just don't think that Felicio is ever going to develop into a bona fide starting five. So if you trade Lopez, you know, you may be in a situation where if you can't get Michael Porter in next year's draft, you might have to draft one of those seven-footers that are available, expected to be top five picks, either DeAndre Ayton, who's a freshman at Arizona, or Mo Bamba, who's down at Texas. And you don't want to get in a situation where you're drafting a young seven-footer who's 19 years old and it's 3 years away from really being a contributor. So my thing is I keep Lopez, hope that Levine and Dunn develop into a legit starting backcourt, and just pray to heck that you're able to get Michael Porter Jr. as your starting three.
And that's a very interesting take on that, Mark. And you mentioned that building around, probably keeping Rolo around, building around Levine and Dunn. Next year's restricted free agency class is very intriguing if you're the Bulls, in my opinion. You're going to have three people available. One of them is your own in Levine. And you also will have Marcus Smart and Chicago native Jabari Parker available. Are Smart and Parker specifically two names that you can see the Bulls kicking the tires on, especially Jabari being that he's a hometown native?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Bucks end up doing. You know, they've got an interesting situation in terms of managing their payroll. Obviously, they gave Antetokounmpo the max deal. They're paying Chris Middleton close to the max. Greg Monroe is still a high salaried player. In fact, they gave Matthew Dellavedova $8 million a year. Yeah. So their payroll is getting pretty high right now. And because Jabari's coming off the two ACLs, you know, they're not expecting him to come back till February. If he comes back and doesn't show that he can be the same kind of player that he was before the injuries, they may decide that they don't really want to make a long-term commitment, because Jabari and his agent are looking for a max deal, which, you know, you can't blame him for that. You know, right. He showed before he got hurt the second time that, you know, he was a 20-point game scorer and looked just as explosive as he did before the first ACL injury. But, you know, two ACLs on the same knee, I don't know. You know, with the Bulls' experience with Derrick Rose, I think they're going to probably stay away from that. I just don't think that's the name that's going to fit. Marcus Smart is a good player, but I think, you know, I think for his ceiling in the NBA is as a nice six-man defensive stopper kind of guy. I don't think he has enough of an offensive game to be a guy that you're going to spend big dollars in free agency. You know, you would have loved to have been able to have a shot at one of the bigs, Hassan Whiteside or Nikola Jokic, but, you know, Whiteside obviously re-signed with Miami, and Jokic will get a max deal from Denver. So restricted free agency is very difficult. Unless you have a team that's in financial purgatory where they're trying to get off a contract and trying to get out of the luxury tax, generally, you know, 99 times out of 100, they're going to match an offer for a restricted free agent because you don't want to lose an asset. The Bulls are going to have as much cap space as any team in the league next summer. The big question is going to be, will they try to spend it to try to make an incremental improvement and get back into the playoff picture, or will they decide to go into the Philadelphia mode and be bad for multiple years to try to get high lottery picks?
Right, and I'm glad you touched on that, Mark, because there is an optimism, not amongst a lot of the Bulls fan base, but some, there is optimism that this can virtually be a one-year rebuild because of what you mentioned about the cap space, being able to land potentially Michael Porter Jr. or Marvin Bagley III. What are there any unrestricted free agents out there that you can see the Bulls legitimately being able to bring in here? I know DeMarcus Cousins, DeAndre Jordan, those are some of the names that I can see happening, but I'm not seeing LeBron James, Paul George, obviously coming to Chicago next year. What are some realistic targets that you could see them bringing in if they elect to go that route? And two, do you think that they can be a player in free agency because they can be able to pay these guys what they want as opposed to other teams who hit that, during that cap boom, gave their money up?
Yeah, you know, I wrote a long-form piece on this on our old website, CSNChicago.com. We're now NBCSportsChicago.com.
Right.
But I looked at how they could potentially turn this around in the short term, maybe in the course of one season. And the key would be, obviously, LaVine coming back 100% healthy, looking like an all-star, Lauri Markkanen showing potential as a high first-round draft pick, and Chris Dunn being, you know, established as the point guard, starting point guard going forward. That would get them three starting spots pretty much locked down. Then, hopefully, you win the lottery, you get Michael Porter Jr. to be a fourth guy, and then it would be a term of filling in around the edges. You hit it right on the head, Steve. They're not going to get any of those top guys. You know, we look at the free agent spot next year. They see LeBron, KD can opt out, Paul George is a free agent. You know, Chris Paul can be a free agent. Those guys, you know, they're not going to even consider Chicago.
Right.
DeMarcus Cousins is an interesting situation to watch because, you know, that's that grand experiment with the Pelicans. How it's going to work with him and Anthony Davis. But they've already had injuries with Rondo going out, and, you know, they're worried about play in the backcourt. They brought in Jameer Nelson to try to solidify that.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, they may try to get involved in the Eric Bledsoe market to try to, you know, help their backcourt situation. But, you know, I looked at some of the names that are unrestricted. You look at, besides Cousins, you know, you look at Avery Bradley, who I really like, who has played for the Celtics for a number of years and now is with the Pistons.
Right.
He'd be a good guy, but if you're going to commit to Dunn and LaVine as your backcourt, you know, where does he fit? There are guys that are second-level free agents, veteran guys like Danny Green is going to be an unrestricted free agent. Wilson Chandler of the Nuggets would be a nice upgrade at the three spot. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is going to go back into free agency after signing that rich one-year deal with the Lakers. J.J. Redick will go back into free agency, but he's in his 30s, so he doesn't really fit. You know, most of the guys that are going to be unrestricted free agents are guys that really aren't going to be worth the money, because if we're in a rebuild situation, the only way you can get a free agent is to overpay for him. You're going to spend big money on a guy like Greg Monroe, or, you know, guys that have been bouncing around the league and have never really established themselves as top players. I think that what's going to end up happening is they're going to use some of that cap space during this season and next summer to take on bad contracts that get first-round draft picks attached with them. You know, L.A.'s trying to get off money. You could see Luol Deng Part 2 in Chicago.
Ooh.
Where, you know, they get a future pick in, by taking on Deng's money. There are other teams that are going to try to get under the cap to try to maybe bid on some of the top free agents that might offer the Bulls a combination of players and picks. And because the Bulls have cap space right now, they could absorb some of these contracts into their space. And that was going to reduce the amount of money they'll have to spend this summer. I think that John Paxson has kind of taken over the lead role in that front office now. He wants to rebuild through the draft. And I think what's going to end up happening is between now and next summer, they're going to probably acquire at least one, if not two more, first-round draft picks, either for the 2018 or 19 drafts. And they're going to go into the next two drafts with hopefully at least two first-round picks in each of those years. And then I think that's the way they're going to go about it. As we know, their experience in free agency has not been that positive. You know, they made the big play in 2010, had everything lined up, and lost out to Pat Riley in the Heat. They almost got Carmelo Anthony, but didn't have enough cap space in 14. I just feel like they realize that free agency is not going to be the cure to all their ills. I think they're going to commit to a 3 to 5 year rebuild, and I think they're going to try to do it mostly through the draft.
NBC Sports Chicago's Mark Schanowski joining the All Day SJ show. And Mark, you mentioned that Paxson wants to rebuild through the draft, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's say the Bulls do hit the lottery and win. Who you taking, Porter or Bagley?
You know, I haven't seen that much of Bagley. I've seen a lot of tape on Porter, and he's very intriguing because he's 6'10 and a half. He's got extended shooting range. I mean, people are comparing him to Kevin Durant. And anytime you're going to compare a young athlete like that to the best player in the league, that's going to pique my interest. Bagley, from what I've read in scouting reports, is more of a power forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm thinking that Markkanen is going to have that spot locked down. Not to say if you could upgrade, you definitely would upgrade.
Right.
You know, but if I get win the lottery and I get the first pick, I'm definitely going with Michael Porter Jr. The kid from Europe, Luka Doncic, is getting a lot of attention, particularly since he combined with Goran Dragic
mm-hmm.
to help their home country, Slovenia, win the Eurobasket Championship, which is pretty prestigious overseas. He played exceptionally well, and I know that both Pau Gasol and some other an 18-year-old combo guard. I know people are leery about investing a top three pick on a European guy, but from what I've been able to see and hear, he looks like he's going to be pretty special. After that, I think those are the top three clear cut, and then it drops to those two bigs I mentioned earlier. Then there's a slew of guys that we'll just have to see how the college season develops. Michigan State has a couple of interesting forwards in Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr. There's a point guard at Alabama, Colin Sexton, is supposed to be good. Robert Williams is a power forward from Texas A&M. So we'll be tracking the college game as much as we will NBA this year in terms of our pre and post game show. You know, we're going to show highlights of all these guys and try to give the viewers an appreciation for what their skill sets are and maybe go in deep with Kendall Gill and Will Perdue and take a look at their games and try to figure out how they're going to translate to the NBA level, because the reality is, you know, the Bulls are going to be a team that's going to struggle to win 20 to 25 games. They're going to be in the mix for that top draft pick, and getting a top three pick is really crucial to this whole rebuild. I mean, the worst thing in the world would be finishing with the worst record in the league and then, you know, having bad luck in the lottery and falling to four.
Right.
Which is, you know, after this, but last year they're going to hold the lottery under the old rules. That's going to change after this season. So, you know, if they get the worst record, finish with a 25% chance of getting number one and hopefully cash it in, because that would be the huge impetus to maybe speeding up the rebuild. If you get a player who can be an elite scorer and potentially an all-star player within a short period of time.
Great stuff, Mark. And you know, I appreciate you joining the show. You're one of the best in the business. And before I let you go, you know I wasn't going to let you go without asking you one question. What's going to happen in Season 5 of Power? Give me your predictions.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talk about that all the time. I mean, it's a really compelling show with really deep and rich characters who, you know, every week, you know, you find yourself really getting personally involved because, you know, the characters are so real. And, you know, it's going to really be interesting to see what happens. You know, they've had some of the, you know, main characters involved in some really serious storylines. And, you know, I just feel like Tommy's the one who's going to go off the deep end next year. I just feel like he's really in too deep. And I don't know if there's any pulling him back into, you know, a more realistic way of life. I mean, he's got himself in trouble from so many angles. I just don't know how they're going to be able to pull him back.
And I'm glad you mentioned that about Tommy, and I think that's why it was genius writing to turn a 50 Cent's character Kanan into a good guy. Because if there's anybody that I think is crazier than Tommy, it's Kanan. I mean, he did kill his own son, right? So it's going to be interesting. I can't wait for that season. We got a lot to look forward to this summer, what the Bulls are going to do in terms of their rebuild, and we're also going to get our favorite show, Power, back on the air. Ski, I really do appreciate you doing this. It was a blast, and I thank you for your time, man. My listeners are going to enjoy this, so I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Steve. Well, keep up the good work, and I'm going to be really interested to follow your career path, and anytime you need to jump on, I'd be happy to do it.
Ski, that means the world to me, man. Thank you, brother. I really do appreciate it.